It sounds like a pretty bad Goldman Sachs earnings report, but is it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Investment bank Goldman Sachs said today its profit over the last 3 months was down by more than 70%, 7-0. For the bank, it doesn't sound like much to celebrate, but Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live to tell us the report has actually proven a bit brighter than expected. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Steve.
So you've been looking at this report, right? How did Goldman Sachs do?
Yes, the firm is pleased, it said, with its first quarter results, and they were much better than most analysts had anticipated. But that is after you read that headline, because the company did post that huge decrease in first quarter profit. But the company explained that happened for a number of unique reasons, including the bank buying back $5 billion of preferred shares from legendary investor Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway. And those were the shares that Buffett bought in the height of the financial crisis.
All right. So what does the Goldman report, Janet, mean for the rest of us?
Well, management consultant venture capitalist Peter Cohen says the positive-leaning report should steer us regular everyday investors back to confidence in stocks.
Investors will expect other banks to exceed expectations, and that could basically help restore some positive momentum.
And other banks have been reporting higher earnings today. Bank of New York Mellon and U.S. Bancorp both reported positive results. So this good news may help investors move past some of the lower earnings that came out earlier this week from Citigroup and Bank of America, and they were associated with bad mortgage investments.
Marketplace's Janet Babin. Janet, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are responding to the Goldman news today, up 0.5% or more. The U.S. government said home construction rebounded a bit in March. Housing starts were up more than 7%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 140 points to close at 12,201. Paul Allen's new book goes on sale today. In Idea Man, the co-founder of Microsoft says Bill Gates tried to dupe him out of his share of the software giant after he got sick with cancer. But Allen also made a name for himself with some investments he's made since the days of Microsoft, and he's here now to talk about that. Paul Allen, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you.
How did your founding and development of Microsoft affect other investments that you made later on? What did you learn in those early days?
Well, the early days were really exciting. I tried to stuff as much information about the computer industry and about microprocessor chips into my mind as I could. A lot of the work that's key early is to find a like-minded people to work with. And I was lucky to meet Bill Gates in high school, and we found someone at Harvard, Monty Davidoff. So a lot of it's about putting your initial team together.
Is it different now finding venture capital and people to invest than it was for you guys to find it?
Well, we basically self-financed in those early days. When I got to Albuquerque, actually, I had to get a two-week advance on my salary. And Bill was going to Harvard, and I was living on my salary for working for Honeywell. So now, you know, there's many venture capitalists that are looking at all these different opportunities. So there's a lot of money out there to finance interesting startups as compared to those days.
How crowded is the market right now?
Oh, my gosh. It's more crowded than it's ever been. If you look at the number of applications for mobile phones and for tablets and for PCs, it's super crowded. And some of the financial models have yet to be proven.
You think we're in some sort of tech bubble?
If you look at the valuations of some of these things that have unproven financial models, sometimes valuations can get away from rational levels. So there's always the potential for a bubble. And people probably thought the valuation of Google at some point was a bubble, and it proved out over time. So it just depends on the situation.
Between you and Bill Gates, it seems that what you do with your money is very different. I mean, Bill has his charitable foundation, the Gates Foundation. You have philanthropic ventures as well. But you also own sports teams like the Seattle Seahawks or the Portland Trailblazers.
There's a stylistic difference there. Bill has always had, especially in the Microsoft days, had a laser-like focus and dedication to Microsoft. Once I left Microsoft, I'd always had many different interests and pursued different opportunities and have really enjoyed the sports teams. But as the owner of any sports franchise, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be years when you're contending, hopefully, if you're lucky, and then years where you're struggling and you're rebuilding. And so we've gone through a few of those cycles.
Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Allen talks more about his relationship with Bill Gates later today on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. And check out the book at our big book blog, marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
U.S. drug maker Forest Laboratories said profit was up in its last quarter, but Forest said it's expecting to lose market share after generic versions of its antidepressant Lexapro go on sale. That problem could be mimicked at other pharmaceuticals as well, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Patents are about to expire on several blockbusters, Plavix, Zyprexa, and cholesterol drug Lipitor. That last one is the best-selling drug in the world.
I trust my heart to Lipitor.
But millions of people may start trusting their hearts to generics once Pfizer loses that patent.
Thus, they meet what they call a patent cliff.
Analyst Chris Bowe says Pfizer's sales of Lipitor could drop by half in as little as a year. So Pfizer and other pharmaceutical companies need to have a stream of drugs in development. Miller Tabak's Les Funtleiter says these days, there's been a shortage.
Drugs are going generic faster than pharmaceutical companies can create new ones.
So what they can't create, they buy.
Which is why you've seen a lot of acquisitions.
And Funtleiter says that is likely to continue. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, readers of the Consumerist website have voted for the worst company in America. It started off like March Madness, with companies like Walmart and Delta Airlines facing off in the first round. In the end, it was returning champ Bank of America looking for a repeat, but one company stood in its way. The winner of the worst company in America? BP. Tomorrow, by the way, is the anniversary of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. The list, by the way, is at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The oil we use in our everyday lives is tough, hard to reach, not easily refined, and we have to jump through the other country's bureaucratic hoops to get it.
And the number of the hoops and the character of the hoops change with the price of oil.
I'm Bob Moon. Our series marking the anniversary of the BP oil spill continues with a look at geopolitics and oil supplies. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.